Amanda, dinner parties aren't exactly new. And neither really is the basic human desire to connect with other people. But these days, I think we're lonelier than ever. According to a 2023 report from the Surgeon General that, like, I totally looked up online, we're in an epidemic of loneliness and isolation.
That's sad.
It is. People aged 15 to 24 are spending the least amount of time with each other, leading to the new nickname of the loneliest generation. And in a 2023 Pew Research poll, whatever that is, I don't even know, less than 30% of respondents under the age of 30 said they had five or less close friends. Faced with isolation, young people across the country are beginning to use social media to organize dinners, brunches, and drink meetups in hopes of making friends, or at the very least, feeling less lonely.
I guess they're doing something.
They're finally starting to. One such innovative youngster, Anita Machad, if I said that right, started a gathering called Dinner with Friends, a monthly dinner party featuring a themed three-course meal in her Brooklyn Heights apartment. And now, in its second year, she has a waiting list of hundreds of names long.
That's insane.
I know.
What a cool idea.
She's a badass. Her impetus was feeling alone in the city, literally crawling with millions of people. Between leaving her hometown college, starting a new job, and adjusting to her new adult life in New York City, Machad felt like this loss of identity and came up with the idea to meet new people with similar interests.
Good on her for finding community.
And like, the more I was Googling all this stuff, she's not alone. One of my kids' friends is doing the same thing right here in Orange County with her new social club that already has 3,000 followers in less than 6 months. These young adults are literally redefining the idea of the, quote, dinner party.
I love that so much, but what does this have to do with being cultured and curious?
Because throwing a dinner party includes dishes from different cultures, engaging conversations about, like, a gazillion topics, like the reason for our podcast, Amanda.
Ooh, good point.
And, right, creating an atmosphere that, like, leads to diverse tastes and traditions and, like, hearing a bunch of stories that you wouldn't otherwise hear. It's an opportunity to learn and share and celebrate the richness of our human experience. Period. Hey, everyone. Welcome to Sorta Sophisticated, a podcast rooted in becoming more cultured and curious, where we endeavor to suspend judgment, expand our worldview, and learn to appreciate varying perspectives and values.
But really, it's a show where we hope to enlighten anyone who cares on topics that might make them more interesting and well-versed humans, and just dangerous enough to hold their own in this sophisticated world. Sort of.
And today, we're diving into the world of dinner parties, where the stakes are high and the souffles are even higher. Literally, if you do it right. Whether you're aiming for a Michelin star experience or just hoping to keep your guests from running for the nearest fast food joint, we've got tips, tricks, and tales of woe that will make you laugh and learn, people. From choosing the right wine to deciphering the ancient mystery of the salad fork, we'll guide you through the do's, don'ts, and oh no, not again moments of hosting a dinner party. So grab your fanciest apron, pour yourself a glass of liquid courage, be sure a fire extinguisher is nearby, and let's figure out how to impress our friends without burning the whole damn house down. Our word of the day today is osios. Our
what?
Challenge, osios.
Osios?
O-T-I-O-S-E, osios. Our challenge is to work this word into our podcast somewhere and make it seem like we meant to.
What does osteos mean? Osios? Osteos.
Your face is an osios. How do you not know what osios is? Just kidding. Okay, I had no idea. I had to look this up. Osios is a formal word used to describe something that serves no useful purpose or has no use or effect anymore. Like, now that cell phones are everywhere, my landline is osios.
Non-existent.
Non-existent.
Okay, makes sense. So before this podcast becomes osios.
Nice.
Why don't you take us through some dinner party basics?
Should we count that one, though? I don't think so.
Nah, I got it. We can do it again. It's going to be easy. But why don't you start us off on some fundamentals and assume I don't know what I'm doing and I just invited a bunch of people over next Friday. Help me, Pete. Help me.
Okay, first of all, you know how to host a dinner party better than everyone. So I will be kind and pretend you don't know how and take you through this.
Thanks. I appreciate that. Because last time I hosted a dinner party with you, You guys told me I'm just a big flexer. So.
Yeah, no, you are a total flexer.
Go right
ahead. You're amazing. And quite frankly, you should probably be totally managing this episode. Let's be honest. All right, fine. Dinner party basics. Okay. Hosting a dinner party can be pretty daunting to the virgin hoster. So thank God that Amanda is here to give you a little prep so everything runs smooth. Look, people, we're here to help. I mean, somebody has got to do some heavy lifting somewhere. If you don't have a clue where to start, or if you do think you know what you're doing, consider this a refresher. 6 steps, people. 1, plan the guest list. 2, plan your menu. Wisely. That's the key. 3, atmosphere. Make it awesome. 4, execution, baby. And be engaging. 5, stay organized and be flexible or everyone will hate you, I promise. And 6, finally, end on a high note. Gotta go out in style. If you follow this tried and true plan, you cannot go wrong. Well, that's not true. Things will go just less wrong. And that's all we really care about. We're only trying to help, sort of. I'm not a miracle worker. We're not that sophisticated. Okay. So why don't we start by giving a little more detail about each step?
Good idea. I like it.
Okay. So 1, creating the perfect guest list. Amanda, what do you got me?
Oh, you want me to go? Okay.
Oh, you go.
Get it. Okay. So I guess your guest list is kind of like your recipe. Too much of one ingredient and you might, you know, burn your tongue off with too much spices. And too little of an ingredient and you all reach for that salt at the same time. So it's exactly the same with the guest list. If you invite all your introverted friends to the same dinner party, or on the other hand, all your loudmouth friends, you may find yourself overcompensating one way or another and it'll be unbalanced and may suck.
Oh, it'll suck. I can't imagine a bunch of freaking introverts. You got to have a mix of personalities. You want guests who keep a conversation going. Some humor, some sophisticated talk.
Sort of.
Some storytellers. That was funny. And even some listeners. A cornucopia of different people. Oh, that would have been a good word of the day. Cornucopia.
It would have.
Why do I do this all the time? Like we're like talking. I say a word that I want. Like from now on, I think we're going to not do the word of the day. And I'm just going to say a word. We're going to try to like...
Yeah, that takes the fun out of it.
Okay, fine. Cornucopia was funny though.
But Pete...
What?
Could you imagine inviting only accountants or librarians or something like that? Or even worse, people on the opposite side of the spectrum, a whole room of yous.
Oh, ouch. I didn't think I'm really that bad, am I? Don't answer that. Also, why do you got to do accountants and librarians dirty like that? I know a ton of upbeat and really lively librarians who are hot.
I'm sure you do.
Yeah, like
no,
a lot.
No. Lies.
Okay. I'm going to have a librarian dinner party and you're not invited. Okay?
Good. I'm not a librarian.
Fine.
Cheers.
Okay. So also when you're thinking about who to invite, you should think about their dietary restrictions because it's the polite thing to do nowadays. So if you let the menu lead, then decide on your guests based on menu. But if you want your guest list to lead, then you have to change your menu to meet their needs.
Fair, because I would feel totally horrible if I invited somebody over and mildly almost kill them because...
How do you,
I fed them.
How do you mildly kill someone?
I mean, I have an EpiPen, so.
Huh. Good for you. Okay, anything else for the guest list that we got to worry about?
I guess maybe don't bite off more than you can chew. Pick a probably reasonable number that you can successfully cook for and still have time to entertain. I'd argue 4 to 8 guests, maybe. Whatever fits at your table.
I think that's perfect. Because I think like 6 is great all the time. It seems to work super well. And we can usually keep it to 1 conversation at the table. And make sure everyone's involved and engaged. Okay, so after the guest list, we have the menu, right? So plan the menu wisely, people. This can make or break your dinner party. Trust me.
I mean, one thing that I would say, I know I don't do this, and this is probably my little flex, but don't cook anything you've never made before.
My God.
Because the night of your dinner party is definitely not the time to try out whatever new recipe you saw on TikTok. I would probably go with something tried and true. And something you've gotten compliments on in the past. Though, you know me, Pete.
Oh, I do.
I absolutely will try new things on people, but it can be an epic fail. So if you want it to be successful, definitely go with something you know.
No, I got a story. We have time for a story?
Let's go.
I got a story. So one time I tried to make lobster risotto. So epic fail, right? Totally effed it up. I overcooked the lobster because I had no idea what I was doing. And the risotto didn't have the right amount of saffron. That's like that special, like super expensive spice that people put into it that makes like risotto risotto. And everybody was trying to be extra nice to eat what was like essentially rubber seafood on top of some like yellow sticky rice. And it was a total disaster. I should have stuck with my homemade pasta and meat sauce. And it was terrible. And at least I have this story out of it. But you're absolutely right. It sucks. But I have gone to your house and you've made new stuff. And by the way, it's worked every time. So
luck of the draw. Luck of the draw.
I don't think it is. I think you just have a magic touch.
And while we are on the subject of meal planning, just keep it simple. Start with an appetizer that doesn't involve lighting something on fire. You know, no flam bam. Shish,
thank you,
blam.
Ma'am.
Flam bam.
Thank you, ma'am.
No.
Never mind. Oh, like flambé or something? Yeah. Oh, that's not an appetizer. Isn't that a dessert of some sort? Got it.
Yes. Okay. So then pick a main course that you can pronounce and always finish with a dessert that's more than just a cup of yogurt. And it sort of goes without saying, but maybe make sure you have enough food. Nothing is worse than people who are starving when they leave. They will never come back, or at least they'll make a bunch of excuses the next time you invite them over. One time, we went to a party and it was at 6 p.m. and there was drinks and quote-unquote snacks. Nah, it's dinner time, yo.
What? Like they didn't serve you dinner?
No, just snacks.
And they didn't tell you? That doesn't count. That's terrible.
They invited us over for...
And now, are they still your friends? Mildly?
Yes.
Sort of. They're sort of... See, there you go, right? So what I do is I always have backup snacks. Like that way, if there's not enough food, like almonds, cheese and crackers.
Where do you stuff them? In your pocket?
No, I keep them like in my pantry, like ready to go. So almonds, cheese and crackers.
Oh, when you're hosting a party, not when you go to a party.
No, right. When I'm hosting a party, because I can figure out if people are still hungry, right? Like anything you can throw together like really fast, right? Like super easy. And don't forget drinks. Like wine, classic. But you have to offer regular stuff too. So you never know who's not drinking and why they're not drinking, right? So I've learned that over the years. So don't make any assumptions and don't pressure anyone either, like, to drink. It's totally lame. So just have a lot available for people.
I guess ultimately you want to aim for balancing the courses, like maybe a light appetizer, a good solid main course, and some cool dessert.
Yes, I love that. Do you have, like, give me an idea what you're thinking.
Maybe bruschetta with tomato and basil or a simple charcuterie board.
Oh, my God. I have rumbly in my tummy right now.
Well, here, it's going to make it better.
Go.
How about like grilled salmon or roasted chicken with a seasonal vegetable? Just pop it in the oven.
Perf.
Be done.
Classic, simple. I love it.
Maybe make a side of OG creamy mashed potatoes.
Mm.
Throw in some half and half and cream cheese.
Mm.
Secret sauce.
Mm-mm.
And then you can make a lemon sorbet for dessert.
Simple, refreshing. I love that. But I hate lemon, although that's a super go-to. That's a super simple recipe. I think that's good.
Okay. But not everything is always good. So you probably should always have a backup plan.
Why?
Because Murphy's Law. If it can go wrong, it will go wrong. And I always have like some old rice in the fridge to stir up a fried rice or something. Or, you know.
Yeah, of course you do. Don't
I
you,
do.
Amanda?
And then, or, you know, all of the ingredients to make a simple salad. So that way you could pull it out in a pinch.
Let's go, Martha Stewart. Okay, anything before we go to step three?
Don't think so.
All right, so we've done the prep work. We got the guest list sorted. We picked a menu. Now, like Sebastian says in The Little Mermaid, we have to create the move. There you see her sitting there across the way. Okay, you probably don't want to hear me sing. You got to think of your dinner party like it's a freaking stage production, people. Except instead of actors, you've got your awkward friends. And instead of a script, you have, well... chaos.
Yes, I love it. Ambiance is everything. Lighting should be dim, like dim enough to hide your mistakes, but bright enough to still kind of see. And if you want, you could add some mood by lighting candles.
Nice touch.
Music should be kind of low and steady, maybe some soft jazz or something like that. And if you want to be real fancy, you can have a centerpiece with some candles, which is kind of a nice touch. But just make sure those candles don't smell too flowery or people might just puke before they even taste the meal. The whole goal is you want to make people feel relaxed and comfortable.
Yeah, right? Speaking of comfortable, shoot for a nice cool temp inside the house. More bodies tend to make things warmer, so crank up the air conditioning a few degrees and make it a bit on the chillier side. You can always have throw blankets around or something if need be.
I never even thought about that.
Right. Also, oh my God, I know I'm throwing a lot out there, but make sure you consider seating arrangements. Do you watch Curb Your Enthusiasm?
Why would you ask me that? I barely watch anything ever. You already know this.
That's right. I should probably stop asking.
Is this kind of like when you're in the van and they ask you a bunch of questions?
What van? The van, the question van? I don't know the question van, but I do know this. That's hysterical. Okay. So in one of the episodes, it introduces something called middling.
Middling? Like
yes.
Fiddling?
Like middling. And Larry David is the king of middling. So basically, he knows how to keep a conversation topical and fresh while making sure everybody still feels involved. So he is strategically placed at the table in a middle spot to make sure everyone enjoys the conversation. So basically what I'm saying is you need to identify the best middler on your guest list and be sure they're ready to work.
But what if the host is the best middler?
Well, then the host takes one of the middle seats or make sure, I guess, you're sitting in a round table instead, I guess. I don't know, but you needed your middler.
I love that there's such thing as a middler.
There is. Shout out, Curb. I know.
But after that's all kind of figured out, you got to set the table, right?
Probably a good idea. But Amanda, keep it simple, please. I hate this part and I always get so confused. So just like make it super easy for me to understand.
Okay. I won't freak you out. If this podcast was called Really Sophisticated, I'd have to explain all about where you put your fish knife and the soup spoon.
Fish knife? And, see, yeah, that's the problem.
And also which glass to place where. But you're in luck. We're only sort of sophisticated.
Oh, thank God. Good. Okay. I was freaking out for a second.
So the easy, light version.
Good.
Forks go on the left and knives go on the right. And if you need a spoon, it's on the outside of the knife. Oh, and the dessert utensils go on top. Otherwise, you can bring them out later.
That's it?
That was
super easy. I love you.
Easy.
But wait, I thought there was more. Like, what about like napkins, like plates, like cups, like all that stuff?
Right, napkins you can put on the plate, then go next to the forks. You decide. There's not really a right or wrong. Just have one plate. Make it easy on yourself. If you have bread and you want to add another, put the bread plate on the upper left of the dinner plate. And any other plates are... Oh, any other plates are Oshios. Anyway.
Oh, smooth one, sister. Oshios. Unnecessary. I like that. All right, so basically all this is Oshios.
Yeah, pretty much. It is.
Huh.
Yep. People will most likely already be drinking before they sit down. So just have one glass at the table for water, and then they can bring their other glass with them when they sit. And if you're really freaked out about all this kind of stuff, just go buffet style. And your guests will grab everything on their own and walk over to the table with it all in hand. It's not a super big deal. Don't overwhelm yourself with all of this poshy-posh stuff. Look, ultimately, the goal is for you and your guests to enjoy each other's company and hopefully some delicious food. As long as you approach it with confidence and make your guests feel welcome, trust me, you're going to have a very successful party regardless of where all the silverware goes. Pinky promise.
Okay, that makes me feel a little better. I'm not going to lie. That is sort of why I avoid dinner parties like the plague, because I always thought like I had to have a specific way. So you just helped me through that. Thank you. My stress levels have gone down tremendously.
Good.
Okay, so everything's ready. It's in its place, and dinner is cooked and warming in the oven. I think I'm ready for my guests to show up. I want a party.
Okay.
Let's go.
It is now time for the main event. Let the performance begin. Step 4, all about execution. Number 1. First things first, you got to greet your guests like royalty. Smile when you open the door.
Easy.
Take their bags and offer them a drink. Just be awesome. Kind of pretend like you're on a stage.
That's exactly what I do all day long. Let's go. I'm ready.
All right. Well, then, number 2, start using everything you have ever learned from this podcast and start your small talk. Like, listen to all 20 episodes. This is your moment, people. Don't let us down. You got this. Remember the topics to avoid: politics, religion, exes, and your kind of weird ass medical stuff, like that growth on your face, Pete. Don't bring it up.
Oh my God, I can't talk about that.
I know.
That's all I ever talk about.
But everyone can see it. All right. Number 3, as guests show up, you got to mingle. Don't be lame. It's your job. Remember, you're the one who chose to throw the damn party in the first place. So keep an eye on those glasses and make sure they're full. If you have appetizers, make them accessible to guests wherever they choose to congregate. Don't force things. Go with the flow.
And by the way, don't panic at awkward silences. They happen all the time. People freak out over this. You have 2 options. The first one is real easy. Just excuse yourself to go check on the food. Works like a charm. And it's usually enough for whoever you left to just change the subject and start something new with somebody else. Or 2, another easy one is to just have 1 or 2 icebreaker questions ready to rip. My favorite is, what's your superpower? Another one might be, what day in your life would you relive if you could? Or you could always go with like the fun games like 2 truths and 1 lie.
Really? Pete, no one's going to blurt out, what's your superpower, when it gets quiet? That would just be weird. I think timing is everything. Otherwise, you're just going to look like an idiot.
Story of my life. But good point. Okay, so 2 things I should clarify about that. It's different how you engage a couple versus how you engage a bigger group. So if you're just chatting with a couple that arrived and it gets quiet and awkward, you can go check on the food or change the subject by asking them something more relevant about their lives, assuming you've hung out with them before and have some context. Like, What have you been up to this summer? Or how are all the kids? But if you're at the dinner table with like 6 or 8 guests and it gets a little awkward and quiet, first, I'd probably kill the middler. I'm not going to lie. But that's when you bring up the idea of, hey, okay, guys, I got a few icebreakers loaded for fun. Should we give it a go? And then start with something like, hey, what's your superpower? Does that make more sense?
Yeah, thanks for clearing that up. That makes it a whole lot easier.
It's just super important as the host to always be monitoring like the mood. You always have to be ready for a subject change or a new activity or whatever. It's what makes the party a party, people.
Yeah, this is the part where I would say you have to be really organized, but also really flexible. So good luck.
Let's let it rip then. Step 5. Go. Let's be organized and be flexible.
Oh, man. Okay. Well, I guess if you planned everything right and early enough, the flexibility part should come more easily.
For people like you who know how to do this.
I mean, you just got to take a chill pill, right? And just, again, go with the flow, right?
By the way, this is your superpower. So easy to say.
Well, probably because I have a working timeline in my head. And that's what works for me. I'm not saying it works for everyone, but don't knock it till you try it. So something like start cooking at 3 o'clock, set the table at 5 o'clock, guests come at 6 o'clock, and don't forget the appetizers, and dinner around 7 o'clock, and dessert at 8:30, then kick everyone out by 9:30. And you do all of this kind of in your head, right? And if everything is awesome and you want to keep the party going, then you can go past 9:30, but you know, it'll all come to a natural end and you'll start dropping hints and shooing people out the
door. Did you see how you just did that so fast in your, like, so that's the part, like, a lot of people can't do. Like, you just rattled that off, like, in 2 seconds. 3 o'clock, 5 o'clock, 6 o'clock, 7 o'clock. If you can't do that in your head, put it on a freaking note card.
Yeah.
And, like, remember that, because if you're organized enough, you'll be able to get through the night and build in flexibility.
Absolutely. And, I mean, this is what runs in my head and I'm always stressing out about it. So if you need to write it down, then write it down. You know, that's great. However, you need to de-stress, right? And get it out there.
Totally.
I promise if you do it this way, I know it sounds super counterintuitive, but you will be better prepared for the unexpected. And besides, improvising is sometimes the funnest part.
Who doesn't love an improv, right? The story of my life.
It is absolutely the story of your life.
Yes.
Not mine. I really like when things go as planned. Right.
I hear you. We would make good dinner party host together then.
You would, yes.
Because you
I would just make sure I manage it and you would just take care of it.
Okay, yes, right.
Well, you got to know that people pick up on this stuff real quick. So there's nothing worse than a host who can't go with the flow. So if shit goes sideways, pour another drink and don't be afraid to ask a few friends for help. It will definitely make the night more memorable, for sure.
Oh my God, totally. Some of the best nights when shit went sideways and people end up in the hospital, but that's a story for a whole different episode.
Wait, what?
Nope.
Hospital?
No, I'm not going. No, I'm not going there today. I'm moving on. We'll talk about it later.
Okay. Well, I'm going to have to hear the story later.
Okay. I promise.
Great.
Okay. Okay. Then finally, step 6, when the night is ending, you gotta make sure you end on a high note. It is all about showmanship, people. Can't quit now. You need people to think your dinner parties are amazing. Am I right?
Go big or go home.
Okay. So ready? First, no awkward exits. It totally fucks everything up. You got this far. Just hang in there for like a few more minutes. So funny story, because I know I'm sort of known as a social assassin. Shout out to Larry David again. I just totally stole that term from Curb Your Enthusiasm. I totally suck at this part.
Which part?
The ending the party part. So instead of dropping hints, I go like right for the jugular. When I'm done and it's getting late, I'll just stand up and say, okay, dudes, the party's over. Get the fuck out.
I can totally see you doing this. I'm sure I've experienced this too.
Yeah, I know. My wife used to want to kill me for it. And then I'd have to like reel it back in and be like, just kidding. And get up and pretend to like go to the bathroom or something. But most of the time it totally worked.
They rewarded bad behavior.
Because in the next 10 minutes or so, people would start to migrate out. Like, it probably is not the best way to do it. I'm not going to lie, but super effective. And now all my friends know me enough that I do it religiously and they all laugh about it. So here's the funny part. My wife would always pretend to be super mad about it in front of the guests. But afterwards, when everyone was gone and we were cleaning up, she would say, thank you, and say how much she appreciated me doing stuff like that, and that I was the only one who could get away with it. Then I'd say, you owe me one, and we would go do it.
So oh my God.
Everything worked out perfect. But she loved my social assassin behavior behind the scenes. She just wouldn't tell everybody.
Good cop, bad cop. Got it.
Yes. So I tell you all that to say, I don't advise going that hard. Maybe something a little softer might work, like, well, guys, I got an early morning tomorrow, so let's wrap up in a bit. Or maybe, hey, let's clear the table and get the dishes in the sink. Those both work pretty good. And finally, when your friends do actually start heading out, don't forget to thank them for coming. An authentic expression of gratitude is a perfect way to close it. And sometimes I'll have extra cookies packed or a little something for them to take with them. Classy move. And that's it. Take a moment to breathe. You survived hosting a dinner party. Cheers to you. Kick back, relax, and enjoy the leftover wine and stare at the heaping pile of dishes that you still need to do.
Then wait till the next morning and send a thank you text to everyone, like halfway through the day. Nothing too early, you just will look needy. And nothing over the top either. Just thanks for coming, had a lot of fun, glad you could make it, things like that. So to sum things up, basically, if you're going to host a dinner party, be ready for a lot of planning, some fun creativity, and going with the flow when things don't go as planned. Focus on these six things: guest list, ambiance, menu planning, be engaging, stay organized, and end on a high note. If you can do these things, you're well equipped to host a dinner party that your guests will rave about long after the dishes are done. Enjoy the process and remember that the ultimate goal is to create a warm and inviting atmosphere where everyone can have fun.
Okay, love it. Anything else you got before I fire off some fun facts?
Do we really have fun facts about hosting a dinner party? Because I can't wait for it if we actually do.
Well, there's not really fun facts about the actual
hosting of a dinner party. See what I said?
I didn't think it would be fun to talk about how we added the napkin to our lap in 1841. And before that, we just wiped our face with our shirts.
That's absolutely a fun fact.
I just made that up.
Well,
so I have
shit.
So here's what I have. I have a bunch of Oshios facts that might be fun to bring up at the dinner party when shit gets a little boring.
All right, fine. Let's go.
Okay, so full disclosure, I have no idea how to work these into a conversation or anything. I'm just going to riff here, okay? The rest is up to you.
Great. I'm going to love it. Let's go.
Okay, totally random. Number one. Did you know avocados are a fruit, not a vegetable? They're technically considered a single-seeded berry.
No.
A berry, right?
Who knew that?
Right. Next time I want berry pie, I'm going to ask for it with avocados and see what happens.
Stop.
Why not?
I mean, I know you totally will.
I am. I'm going to. Absolutely. I'd like a avocado berry pie, please. Okay. Number two, did you know that the Eiffel Tower is 6 inches taller during the summer than in winter?
No.
Sometimes I'm 6 inches taller. Okay. Yeah, it's something called thermal expansion. When the iron heats up, the particles gain kinetic energy and it takes up more space, making it taller.
What?
I wish that totally happened to me in the summer. You know what I mean? No, that would be amazing.
I don't, that's true?
That's totally true.
Okay.
Okay, number three, allodoxophobia is the fear of other people's opinions. It's a rare social phobia that's characterized by an irrational and overwhelming fear of what other people think. And I am totally a chronic sufferer of allodoxophobia.
You care what people think?
I think so, yeah.
Huh.
A little bit. Don't we all?
I mean, yes. I think we all do.
Yeah, so when you're sitting around the dinner table, be like, hey, guys, I suffer from allodoxophobia.
And then everyone can be like, oh, me too.
Right, exactly. Okay, wait, but on the subject of opinions, there's actually a word for someone giving an opinion about something that they know nothing about.
Yeah, it's called Peter.
Oh, shit! Okay, good one. Actually, it's called an ultra-crepidarian.
Crustacean?
An ultra-crustacean? An ultra-crepidarian. The official definition is someone who talks shit about something beyond their expertise.
Oh.
Yeah, okay, number five. Human teeth are the only part of the body that cannot heal themselves. Teeth are coated in enamel, which is not a living tissue. So that's why dentists make so much freaking money. Who knows?
Yeah, that's why cavities are forever.
I know. Crazy. Okay, do you get where I'm going with all these? I'm totally random here, right?
Yeah, it makes sense.
These are like rando things
that
to bring
you can
up.
Bring up.
I know. It's weird. Okay. Do you know the phrase to raise? This is actually a good one for a dinner party, actually. Number six, do you know where the phrase raise a toast comes from?
Sure don't.
The ancient Romans used to drop a piece of toast into their wine for good health. Hence, 2,000 years later, we raise the toast or raise a toast.
I love it.
I know.
Next time I'm going to drop some toast in my champagne glass.
Let's do it.
People are going to be like, what is wrong with
people,
you?
Right. People are going to be like, you crazy. We'll be like, no, dude, we're like famous podcasters. Relax, everybody. Number seven, a chef's hat has 100 pleats. Do you have any idea why?
Because 100 degrees is what water boils at, maybe in Celsius.
Oh, good one. I didn't even think of that. But no, I think that's totally a good runner-up answer. Apparently, it's meant to represent the 100 ways you can cook an egg. And by the way, I think your answer is way more sophisticated. From now on, I think we're going to go with that.
But also, does water boil at 100 degrees Celsius?
Celsius, yes. Huh. Fahrenheit, 212. But Celsius, yes, 100 degrees. Huh. That's how Celsius was like created.
Glad I'm so sophisticated without knowing it.
Okay, number eight. Which letter doesn't appear in any of the state's names, like in the United States?
A letter?
Which letter, like one letter in the alphabet out of the 26, does not appear in any of the state's names?
Wow, it's not one that I can probably think of quickly. Like Y, X.
X?
Is that in New Mexico?
New Mexico. Mm. Mm-hmm. Z, Arizona.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
All the hard ones are kind of there.
Q.
Oh,
that
is a hard one.
I know. Yeah. Okay.
All right.
Do you know the real name for a hashtag? Like that, you know, the hashtag you use for like hashtag this, hashtag
yes.
that. What?
I was born when it was the pound sign.
No, it's not the pound sign. That's not the name of it. It's called an octothorpe.
I'm sorry. What?
Yes, an octothorpe.
Is this before it was a pound sign?
No, I don't know who came up with pound sign. So the octo is because of the 8 points at the end of each, like two, 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 mm-hmm. two. But the thorpe part is like totally a mystery to me because I couldn't find it anywhere in Google or AI or anything. So like it's an octothorpe. That's all I know. Yay. So next time be like all octothorpe podcast episodes rule. Okay. Octothorpe, sort of sophisticated. All right. So next one. You know Mickey and Minnie Mouse?
Well, I don't know them, but I know of them.
Well, that's what I mean. Okay.
Okay. What about them?
Did you know they got married in real life?
What are you talking about?
Like the voice actors.
Stop like, it.
Yes. Russie Taylor, Minnie, and Wayne Allwine, Mickey, got married in 1991. And they stayed married for like 18 years until Wayne died from like a crushed larynx from trying to talk like Mickey his whole life.
Did he actually?
No, I made that part up. He like died of cancer. But yes, they were like 55 years. They weren't like the original Mickeys, but they were like the ones like during the 70s and 80s. And then they ended up like divorcing their spouses and then getting married. And
that is
the rest is history.
Cool Disney fact.
So yeah, Mickey and Minnie. Okay. Next one. Do you know dolphins have names for each other?
Like real names? Like Danny the Dolphin or Peter the Porpoise?
Well, I don't think they need like mammalian distinction at the end. Like dolphin or porpoise. Like it could just be Danny or Peter.
Sure.
But their names...
Alliteration's much better.
Right. But okay, smarty. Their names are like dolphin sounds. They're all unique. So according to National Geographic, I mean, they're famous, so this has to be real. Dolphins use a unique whistle to distinguish between different members in their pod so they can get each other's attention.
The friggin' geniuses. Like, dolphins are incredible.
Yeah. So, if
so
like,
smart.
Oh, by the way, when, like, dolphins drive by and one dolphin whistles at another, like, do the girl dolphins get mad at the boy dolphins? But really, they're just calling their names. That's super weird. Wow. How do they flirt if you can't whistle?
Maybe it's a different whistle.
I know. I'm so ageist. It's disgusting. Okay. Can I keep going?
Ageist or sexist?
Both.
Oh, okay.
Okay. Can I keep going?
Yeah. How many more you got, though?
Like three or four.
Okay. Go for it.
Okay. You know the blob of toothpaste on a toothbrush?
Oh, Lord. Uh-huh. Twice a day, every day. Dentist orders. What about this blob?
Okay. It's got a name.
No. It's just a blob.
No. That would make it pretty Oceos now, wouldn't it?
Oh, my God. That word.
If it's just blob. Okay. I love Oceos. That's my new favorite word. Okay. It's called a nurdle.
No, it's not.
It's a nurdle.
No.
Yes. It originated from the tiny pellets of plastic raw material that they use in the manufacture of plastic products. And somehow from there, it turned into that cool wave of toothpaste blob that you put on your toothbrush every night. Go figure.
A nurdle.
Nurdle.
Kind of like Wordle.
I'm squirting out my nurdle.
Oh, my God.
Okay. Okay. How about this one? Which continent is located in all four hemispheres?
Africa.
Yes. The continent of Africa carries that prestigious distinction. Good on you.
I wonder where you would go to have to stand in all four hemispheres at the same time.
No.
Could you straddle it like this?
No, that's not like the four corners. It doesn't work that way at all. It just means that like some part of Africa is located in each hemisphere. Like South Africa might be in like one hemisphere.
So not the four corners.
And like Morocco is in a, yeah. No, there's not like a point. No.
Well, that makes it less fun.
It does, but it was still a cool fun fact for a dinner party. Okay, how about why do lemons float and limes sink?
I mean, can we just start off with I didn't even know that lemons float and limes sink? Why?
Because limes are fat. Okay,
no,
just
they're
kidding.
Not.
Whatever.
They're smaller.
Okay, I was kidding.
Maybe they're more dense.
Even though they're both.
They're dense on the outside of the skin.
Okay, you're awesome. They're both citrus fruits, but they have different densities, which causes unpeeled limes, you're absolutely right, to sink if they're submerged in a liquid.
I'm a good guesser.
You a genius. Not only are you the dinner party superwoman, you also have the fun facts. I love this.
Pull it out of my ass.
Right, totally. Okay, did you know it's illegal to own just one guinea pig in Switzerland?
Why would you own a guinea pig, first of all?
Because I think they're cute.
No, they're really loud and annoying. Sorry if you own a guinea pig. We had one when we were young, and it was the loudest creature. But second, that is really random. And why is that even a thing? Who made that a law? Why one? I don't even want one. So why would I want two?
I have no idea. I don't know who makes it laws. I'm only reporting on facts. But in Switzerland, it's considered animal abuse to own only one guinea pig because they're considered social beings and would get too lonely.
How about dogs? They're social beings.
I don't know what to tell you, dude.
Also, does animal control monitor this? Do you have to register your guinea pig?
I know nothing. I don't live in Switzerland. I've never been there. I don't know if there's like a guinea pig police department running around the city checking on everyone.
I'm very curious now.
I just love Switzerland.
I'm very curious.
Okay. Finally, are you ready for this? There's a name for the fear of dinner party conversations.
I mean, there is a name for every single phobia we could ever imagine.
Yep.
So I'm ready for it.
Yes, it is totally real. It is called diepnophobia. And clearly, we do not have it.
We don't.
So let's start the party, people. That's it. There's a bunch of absolutely random facts to use at your next dinner party, which should totally help you just in case you actually do suffer from diepnophobia.
Okay, but wait.
What?
I've been waiting the whole episode for this.
For what?
Why do you keep saying throwing a dinner party and not just having a dinner party? Do you know?
Do you?
Oh, that's what I'm asking you.
Okay. Well, this one took a bit of sleuthing.
And while You do know.
I do. Well, I didn't know like off the top of my head. I had to like look it up.
Okay.
I couldn't find an exact answer, but I'm pretty sure it stems from the verb to do in an informal or spontaneous way. Like I just grabbed some drinks and Cheez-Its and threw something together. Like the same way as throwing on something to wear. You just grab what's around you. So in the same way you just turn up the music, open the fridge, pour a drink, and start partying. You just throw together a party. Then after a while, it turned into more like of a planning thing and not as impromptu. And so there you have it, the origins of the phrase throwing a dinner party.
I love it. Thanks. Well, hopefully y'all feel a little more sophisticated when it comes to being a hostess with the mostest. And remember, dinner parties are about bringing people together, not about impressing them with your souffle skills. Don't forget, if all else fails, you can always order pizza and pretend it was part of the themed party.
Who doesn't love pizza?
All right, Pete. Give me the five things I need to know to file away for the next party.
I don't know if I have five, really, but I'll just rip through this. Okay, so first, watch The Menu, the 2022 horror comedy.
Oh, it's a movie.
Yes, starring Ralph Fiennes and Anna Taylor-Joy, about hosting a pretty exclusive dinner party. Not because you'll learn anything, full disclosure, not even close, but more because it's just freaky as shit and totally worth watching. And I just thought of it because it's a dinner party movie.
I do like myself some Anna Taylor-Joy, here we go.
Yeah, no, it's creepy. Okay, second, at your next party, ask someone if they know anything about hosting a dinner party. Okay, just kidding. That would be really stupid. Don't do that. Really, all you need to know for this one is like, just remember the basic principles we already reviewed. Plan the guest list, plan your menu, make the atmosphere awesome, execute and engage, stay organized and flexible, and finally, end on a high note.
All right. Well, there you have it, dear listeners, and thanks for tuning in to today's episode on how to host a dinner party. If you've been taking notes, you're now ready to transform your humble abode into the social event of the season. Just remember, the secret to a great dinner party is a killer playlist, a stress-free menu, and pretending you didn't hear your best friend's story about her cat for the 15th time. Keep the drinks flowing, the awkward pauses short, and the dessert irresistible. We'd like to think we've shared just enough information to make you either a flaming nuisance or a little more sophisticated to your fellow humans. Sort of.
And remember, the best parties are the ones where everyone laughs, even if it's at your cooking.
If you enjoy this episode and found it particularly interesting, don't forget to subscribe, leave a review, and share with your peeps. And remember, if all else fails, just serve cheese. It's the duct tape of dinner parties. Until next time, may your soufflés rise and your guest list stay drama-free, stay curious, and stay inspired.